Well, this morning, I am going to talk to you about something that you might find a little bit hard to believe, and that is the notion that there are some times when God hates people going to church. There are moments when God absolutely despises religious activity. It's a message that you hear again and again in the Old Testament, especially in the Old Testament prophets. You know, we're talking about the era of the prophets and the exile. Just before the exile happened, people were going about, doing their thing, wandering away from the God who loved them like no one else did. And so God sent to them prophets to say, guys, what are you doing? When you gather for worship, you're just making noise. So Amos 5, for example, 5:21, God says, I despise your religious feasts. I cannot stand your assemblies. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. That's Amos 5. Isaiah 1:13 says, stop bringing me meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moons, Sabbaths, convocations, I can't bear your evil assemblies. Your new moon festivals and your appointed feasts, my soul hates. They become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. This is God speaking. Jeremiah 6:20, what do I care about incense from Sheba or sweet calamus from a distant land, very precious, exotic gifts? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable. Your sacrifices do not please me. Why? What would cause God to despise these kind of religious actions? And are there times these days when God looks at our actions in church the same way? To answer that question, I want to work with Amos chapter 5. So if you have your Bibles with you at home or here in the pews, I do encourage you to go there. So Amos 5, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, and then Amos. That's where you'll find Amos in your Bible. Amos 5:21, God says, I despise your religious feasts. I can't stand your assemblies. These are strong words, aren't they? Clearly, the people of God are gathering together for worship, but for some reason, he can't stand it, right? They're making religious offerings. They're singing their songs. They're doing all these things that God has said to do, and yet in God's ears, it just sounds like fingernails on a chalkboard. Why? Why? To find out, just slide your finger up the page a little bit to verse 7. To the people who are throwing these assemblies, who are gathering to lift their hands in praise in the temple, he says, listen, verse 7, you who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. Verse 10, you hate the one who reproves in court. Essentially, you hate good, fair judges. And you despise the one who tells the truth. You trample on the poor and force him to give you grain. Verse 12, you oppress the righteous and take bribes. You deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, a prudent man keeps quiet in times like this because it knows that speaking out is just going to get him beat up. That's why God hates their religion, because their ritual action is not backed up with ethical action. They're going to church on Sunday, as it were, and praising the Lord, and then they're going home, and they're acting as if they were the only most important person in the world. They go to honor God in church and come home and act in very ungodly ways. They cut corners. They bend the rules. They oppress people who have less power than they do. They stack the decks in their favor. They're giving and taking bribes to get themselves ahead. They are clearly not honoring God with their lives, which kind of calls into question whether or not they are actually honoring God when they gather in their religious assemblies. You see what I mean? Ultimately, ritual action and ethical action should come from the same place. If your heart is truly fixed and focused on God, if you truly want to desire the Lord, then that to honor the Lord, then that should be expressed both in the way that you honor him in church and in the way that you treat other people in the world. Right? This desire to honor God should overflow with a love for God and a love for neighbor. That, though, is not what God saw going on in the lives and the hearts of his people prior to the exile. You know, they went to temple, they did the thing, they went through the motions, and then they went home and they lived for themselves. They were honoring God with their lips, but not with their lives. And so God sent Amos and prophets to say, I hate when you do this. Your religious activity is garbage because it's not backed up with ethical actions. And that implies that your heart is far from me. And they kept it up. And so, into exile they went. And even though God brought a faithful remnant back, you would have thought that they would have learned their lesson and passed the message on to the next generation, to the next generation, to the next generation. But this problem kept popping up in Jesus' day too. Right? Jesus quotes Isaiah saying something very similar to Amos. Matthew 8, Jesus quotes Isaiah saying, these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. That's really the problem at the heart of this message this morning, empty religion. Right? And people do that in our day too. I've seen too many people in my years of ministry who come to church and do the things they need to do here and then go home and live for themselves the rest of the week. Right? They come to church on Sunday, they go through the motions of loving God, and then they go home and they forget to love their neighbor, which calls into question whether or not they were truly honoring God when they stood in the church building. And so God says through prophets like Amos, if you're not going to honor me on Monday, don't bother coming to church on Sunday. God hates when our ritual actions are not backed up by ethical ones. Right? When what we do in church is not backed up by what we do out in our neighborhoods, because it implies that our hearts are actually far from him. Hate is strong language, isn't it? But let's flip that over and realize that God delights when we honor him with our lips and with our lives. You know, I've used this language of hate because that's the language that Amos uses. But the flip side is just as real and just as intense. God loves it when we come here, overflow with love for him, and then go out into the world and overflow with love for others. That's good ritual and ethical action. And this is where I want to speak right to each of you. No one loves you like God does. How great is the love that the Father has lavished upon you that you should be called a child of God. If we're going to honor God for this unfailing love that he has for us, if we're going to honor him for this steadfast commitment, this tender compassion that he has for us, then we need to do it with both our lips and with our lives. You know, the problem in Amos is not going to church. The problem is not hymns in and of themselves. Those are good things, and it's good when we do them. It is good when we gather together to honor the Lord. But that needs to be matched by justice in the world, springing from a heart that is wholly devoted to God. You know, if you've got your Bible open to Amos 5, you'll know that I left off the most important verse here. God says, verse 23 and 24, you know, away with your songs, I will not listen to the music of your harps, but let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Right? Don't just honor God with your lips, honor him with your hearts. Have a Sunday heart every day of the week, as it were. So, you know, really, I want to thank you for being here today. I am delighted that you have given up your Sunday morning to come and honor the Lord with your lips. That's good. Now, match that with a desire to honor God in your life as well. Right? Don't cut corners. Don't bend the rules. Don't use your power and influence to get a leg up on people who don't have as much social capital as you do. Because God loves you like no one else does. Honor him by loving others. Act with justice and righteousness. We're gonna pick that up next week. Honor God by valuing truth. Right? Not what gets you ahead, but what is true and fair. Honor God with your lips and with your life. I think I've shared this with you before, but I'll close with it because I think it is very fitting. Years ago, a Christian author named Brennan Manning wrote these words: "The single greatest cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips." Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips and walk out the door and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world finds unbelievable. God despises that. Not just when we fail to represent him in the world, but when we do that, it gives people a sense that God is not good in the first place. This is exactly the problem that Amos talked about. People going through the motions of honoring God and then going home and living for themselves. Let's sidestep that trap. We're too clever for that. We're too grateful a people for that. You know how deeply God loves you, right? So let your heart overflow with love, both for him and for your neighbor. Let what you do in church be matched out in the world. Sing praise to God here, and then let that be reflected in the way that you treat others later today. Let's honor God with our lips and with our lives. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for loving us with an unfailing, immeasurable love. How great is it? It is so great that you would go to the cross to die for us when we despised you. And yet now that you have touched our hearts that we might respond to you, that we might believe in you, we want to honor you with our whole hearts. Not just our Sunday hearts, but our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday hearts as well. And Saturday. Jesus, I pray that you would lead us to live lives that honor you. God, if there's anybody here that, you know, gets mentally that you love them, but not in their heart, would you make that ever so clear to them? God, in my words, in their Bible study time, in their walks and quiet moments listening to you, let them know how deeply that they are loved by you, that may then overflow. Lord, we don't want to, this is not supposed to be a burden. We are not trying to love you for the sake of getting you to love us. But because you have embraced us wholly, help us to honor you with the whole entirety of our lives. God, in these next few days, help us to act in such a way that people look at us and go, that's goodness. And Lord, would you take the next step with them that they realize that that goodness comes from you? Holy Spirit, help us to honor you with our lips and with our lives. We ask you to do this in Jesus' name. Amen.